Agriculture, like anything else, depends on the basic economics of supply and demand. Supply and demand are at the foundation of understanding just about every principle of economics, so let's talk about what supply and demand really mean. On this graph, you can see a basic graph that simply shows what happens when different preferences intersect. What are those preferences? Demand is the pink line. It's this line right here, and it shows the consumers, what they want. Consumers would like for prices to be low, and if they were, they would demand or try to buy a lot of the quantity of whatever product this is. And I haven't stated any quantity on here. It doesn't really matter. This will work for just about anything. Notice here, if the price of this product were $30, demand would be over 120. They might demand 130 of them. Consumers would. Likewise, if the price were $130, consumers would only want to buy about 45 of them. For suppliers, it's the inverse. And again, it's pretty intuitive. Suppliers like high prices, don't they? Because they want to sell things at a high price to maximize their profit. So if the price of this product were, say, $105 over here, suppliers would be willing to sell more than 135 of them. But if the price dropped down to $45, suppliers would only be able to sell 30 of them. A lot of them would go out of business or stop selling it. They'd find some other business to go into because they couldn't make much of a profit down here. So at the point where these preferences intersect, that will be the price and quantity that the market will choose for this product. In this example, the price will be $75 and the quantity sold will be 90. Let's take an example from agriculture, the market for wheat. In the wheat market, we can imagine that there would be suppliers, that is farmers, who obviously if the price were high, say $105 per ton, more farms would start producing more wheat because they could get more money for it. They'd love for the price to be that high, and if it were, they would supply 135 million tons per month. But if the price of wheat were to drop down here to $45 per ton, a lot of farmers would go out of business, or they'd stop planting wheat and plant something else instead. Somewhere in between here, there's also a demand for wheat. Obviously, consumers would like the price to be low. If the price were low down here, say $30, they'd want, let's say, 130 million tons per month. They would buy all kinds of things made of wheat. But if the price of wheat were high, they'd stop buying it. They'd buy something else instead. And so if the price were high, the amount of tons per month of wheat would diminish that people would want to buy. So again, somewhere along these two curves, they intersect, and this is what the market price will be for wheat under these conditions. Now, I'm not saying this is an actual price anybody's ever had or paid. $75 per ton and 90 million tons per month is just a number I made up. But it's simply to show you how markets work. What happens when government intervenes? Well, government intervenes in agriculture markets all the time. For example, many states have policies where they set a price floor for milk. In other words, it's illegal to sell milk for less than a certain price. What does that do to the market? Well, look at our supply and demand curves, but something has happened. Look at this black line. That's the line of government intervention that says it is illegal to buy milk for less than $90 per ton. Well, all right, if that happens, notice what happens to the supply and demand curves. They don't intersect anymore. Suppliers are out here producing milk and expecting to sell it at $90. But at that price, consumers only want to buy this much. Consumers at $90 will only buy 70 million tons per month, but suppliers will produce 110 million tons per month. So what will happen? Well, with this level of government intervention, what will happen is an oversupply or a surplus. There will be a lot of milk produced that no one will buy because suppliers were told that it was going to be worth $90 per ton. But nobody wants to buy it at that price, or only a few do. And the rest is surplus. It goes into a warehouse somewhere. They can't sell it for less than $90, so the surplus will not be sold. Well, let's see what happens when that takes place. What does government do to solve the problem of this oversupply created when the government intervened in the market in the first place. And they may do this in response to a price floor, or they may simply do it to set some kind of an artificial price floor or to function as if there were a price floor. That is, the government moves in to create artificial demand. The government will come in and buy the surplus until demand meets supply at $90. So the government becomes a demander of last resort, a consumer or a buyer of last resort, and that moves the demand curve up to here to where it matches supply at $90. So the price is maintained at $90. There's no surplus because the government buys the surplus. And then what does the government do to it? Well, maybe they put it in a warehouse. Maybe they give it to the poor. Maybe they sell it to someone. Or maybe they give it away as foreign aid. Who knows? But the point is, the government becomes the buyer of last resort to push that demand curve up so that it intersects the supply curve at a higher price than the market would have. The market would have been down here if the government hadn't done anything. And the market would have sold it at $75 and 90 million tons per month. But with artificial buying by the government, it moves the price up and the quantity that will be sold. And that's what farmers want. May not be what consumers want. Consumers would have been happier down here with that lower price. But that's what the farmers want. And if they're politically connected and they get Congress to vote for it, this is what will happen. Another form of government intervention is farm subsidies. This is where the government just gives money directly to the farms that are producing certain favored crops. If the government does that, then more farms will enter or produce for that particular market, because it creates an incentive for more farmers to join that market, to enter into the supply chain. So what happens? Well, here's what the supply would have been under a free market. There would have been so many farmers willing to produce at each price level. But all of a sudden, the government adds money and gives free money to the suppliers. Now the supply curve moves out here. At every dollar value, there are more suppliers available because more farms have entered the market thanks to the free money they're getting from the government. What will happen to the price? With more suppliers entering the market, the price will drop and the quantity sold will increase. It would have been back here at $75 and 90 million tons. But now with more suppliers artificially boosted into the market, it'll be $60 per ton and 105 million tons per month. Again, a subsidy incentivizes more suppliers to get into the market, so it moves the supply curve to the right. Another similar form of subsidy is income support, where the government says, we'll guarantee you a certain amount of income, and if your income drops because of, say, a crop failure or drought conditions or some kind of market issue where the price goes down, don't worry about it. We will reimburse you and guarantee that your income doesn't drop below a certain level. And what does that do for the supply curve? Actually, it does a very similar thing to what the previous slide did with a farm subsidy, because income support is really a form of subsidy. In a free market with no government intervention, every year a certain number of farms would have losses, either due to market conditions or weather conditions or whatever. And in some years, you might have several years in a row where you have a bad weather situation. And some farms would give up, they would go bankrupt, or they would shut down. So in a normal situation without market intervention, the supply of farms, the supply of this commodity, would be back here. When the government does an income support, they are giving an incentive for more farms to stay in the market, even if some years they incur losses. So the supply, that is the number of farms that are producing and how much they produce, will be moved out to the right. The supply curve will be artificially moved to the right because farmers will not exit the market when they have losses. They'll stay in business. When they would have gone bankrupt, now they can stay in the market because they're getting income even during bad years, and they don't give up and quit. So once again, the supply curve moves to the right, the price per ton is reduced, and the quantity demanded and sold will be increased. What about another government intervention? Conservation or land retirement programs. This is when the government gives money to farms to not produce a crop. And this has happened historically. The government has done this. When the government sees an oversupply of some kind of commodity in the market, or simply for environmental reasons, to try to encourage farmers to take farmland out of production, to try to conserve the environment, for example. The government gives money to farms for not farming What does that do? It does exactly the opposite of what the previous slide did. It moves the supply curve to the left. Now, fewer farms will be in the market. That means less of this commodity will be produced. So the supply curve moves to the left, prices will go up, and quantity consumed will go down. In a free market, it would have been $60 per ton, 90 million tons per month. This would have been our free market right here. But now, with the government giving money, paying farmers to drop out of the market, at every dollar value, there are fewer farmers available. So they don't produce as much. So now the supply is only here at $90 and 70 million tons per month. Another form of government intervention is import restrictions, where the government blocks or taxes imports of a commodity. They impose a tariff. And again, this is usually done in response to political pressure from constituents who go to their congressman and say, "Hey, congressman, we don't like all this foreign competition. It's driving down our prices. We can't make as much money. How about if you block the imports so that we can have the market all to ourselves?" What does that do? The same thing as the previous slide. Here's what the supply would have been with all of the both imported and domestic producers producing this commodity. There would have been this much supply at every dollar value. But when you take imports out of the picture, the supply curve moves to the left. At every dollar value, there is less of that commodity available because you've knocked out these suppliers by blocking imports or taxing them until their price matches this price. Either way, the supply curve moves to the left because when you take into account domestic only, there's less produced at every dollar value. That forces the price to go up and the quantity consumed to go down. As you know, when prices go up, people don't want as much of it. So this has the effect of raising prices and lowering consumption. What about a labeling requirement? Have you thought about what would happen if the government required a label to be put on some commodity? Let's say the government comes along and passes a law that says that whatever this commodity is, every time you sell it, you have to put a label on it that says it's dangerous. What would happen? Now, before I click to the next slide, which has the answer on it, think about it for a second. Do you know what would happen to this graph? Can you predict what will happen? It's not hard if you think about it. What's going to happen to people's perception of the commodity? Have you got the answer? Demand will shift to the left. Fewer people at each dollar value will want that product because they believe it's dangerous now. So fewer people will want it, and the demand curve shifts to the left. Less of it will be consumed, and the price will drop. Suppliers will have to lower the price if it has a label on it that says dangerous. They'll have to lower the price to try to give people an incentive to come back and buy it again. All of this manipulating of supply and demand curves that the federal government does creates a lot of confusion and a lot of conflict. In fact, sometimes the government is moving the curves and then moving them back. Chris Edwards in 2009 wrote this. He said in 1932, a member of Congress noted that the Agriculture Department spent hundreds of millions a year to stimulate the production of farm products by every method, from irrigating wastelands to loaning and even giving money to the farmers, and simultaneously advising them that there is no adequate market for their crops and that they should restrict production. So the government was trying to increase the supply and decrease it at the same time with contradictory programs. Well, that's a lesson in logic of government policy. So keep that in mind as you debate this year.